I'm with you. All right. So I just want to welcome everybody back now. And I want to show you a couple of things, but honestly, you're going to get what you came for. Some of you are thinking already, Greg, you said last week to wake the kids and call the neighbors, and we did that, and we got a whole bunch of people watching online with us, and you better deliver, preacher man. You better give us something. Well, listen, I feel so confident about this, I guarantee you we're going to deliver at the end. And I can say that because it has nothing to do with me, all right? But before we do that, I've gotten you stirred up a little bit about the blessings of God. I want us to talk for just a few minutes and then right back into a moment of worship of what it means to give thanks. It's all over the scriptures. Let me just give you a few here from the Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Right back in Ephesians, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. From another letter of Paul's, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that sounds like an awful lot, that last one. Give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, if we were to just kind of take a poll right now of where you are on the gratitude meter, some of us are really struggling right now of how can we be grateful. But it is Thanksgiving week, so you would expect us to just kind of give you a few things and maybe a few sayings, a few thoughts. So here's a thought for you that's going to be in the back of some of your minds. Here it is. It sounds something like this: don't be a pig. That's not exactly what you were expecting me to say, is it? But it's like some of us are like, oh, it's Thanksgiving, I don't want to overindulge. Maybe you have someone in your life who lovingly says, honey, don't be a pig, which, by the way, for the record, never works when they say that. But I understand where they're coming from. But how about this? How about a piglet? Like a little pig. In fact, that's what I want. I just want to go on record. Some of you take notes, some of you don't take notes, but I would say take out your phone, take whatever. This is one of the real assignments that you have this week. Be a piglet. Well, some of you are thinking, I don't even think that's very healthy for you to say that, Pastor. We should all be on the caveman diet. No, I'm going to be on the pilgrim diet this week. Be a piglet. And don't worry, I'm not even talking about food. I'm talking about one of Winnie the Pooh's friends. In fact, might be his best friend in the Hundred Acre Wood, if you ever read that kid's classic. Piglet, little guy, sometimes overwhelmed, would usually find a way to muster up courage. Piglet. If you don't know Piglet, here's the one thing you need to remember about him. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. Come on. We need more piglets, like right now in this world. No matter how it is that we feel, how much we think we have going on, or how small our heart might feel, we need a lot of gratitude. We need to express a lot of gratitude. Why would I say that? Because it is one of the telltale signs of a life with Jesus. It is one of the telltale signs of life and health and spiritual well-being. It is who we are. Now, let me just think of it this way. Let me help you think of it this way. Flip it around the other side. A lack of gratitude is what? If you aren't grateful, like, well, then you're chronically complaining. You're chronically discontented. You're someone who, like, if somebody tries something new or somebody says, hey, let's do this, or this might be it, you're the first one to go, no, it's not going to work. I don't like that at all. Maybe you've mastered the art of the clever put down. You do it in front of people, but you've really figured out how to do it when somebody leaves the room. It's that coworker, it's that friend, it's that family member. You know, you can kind of zing them on the way out, and then everybody kind of gives the nervous laughter. Now, there's all sorts of reasons we do this, but I will tell you one of them is because we're not very satisfied with our own lives. There's not a lot of gratitude rumbling around in our hearts. And so we see someone who maybe has found their place in the story, and they're a little more satisfied, they're getting stuff done, and we just can't help but take a swipe at them. Gang, I just need you to know how easy it is for us to drift back to this ugliness. All of us, the human heart, will drift back to such things. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good way to live. In fact, I think it's one of the reasons why God is continually telling us to cultivate a kind of gratitude in our hearts. But now let me say this. I don't think you can flip the switch on gratitude. I know right now, all across America, whether you're in a church or not, this week, somebody is going, you're going to come across something, you're going to read an article, you're going to see a tweet, a post, something about gratitude. Hey, we should give thanks. And I just want you to know that all of this talk about thanks could backfire. You see, if somebody forces your hand, if you're sitting around the table and say, no, everybody has to say something they're thankful for, it could be inauthentic, it could be empty, it could be icky. We don't want that. So So the question really we ought to ask is, what do we do if we're someone who's a little more private with our feelings? We're somebody who, like, we don't share a lot of what's going on the inside. We're not very expressive. What do we do if we're that person? Or what do we do if we are one of those people that tends towards an overall grumpiness? Like, we're just kind of a crank. And you're going, well, I don't know if that's me or not. Well, ask your coworkers and your family. Someone will tell you the truth. What if it's not even those two things, but just for a bunch of different reasons, let's just call them 2020, we're just stuck. Well, the first thing I would say to you is we can get better at this. We really can get better at this. I've quoted him before, but Alex Korb is a neuroscientist at UCLA, and he says that the dorsal striatum, which is this subcortical feature in your brain, don't worry, that's all the details, but the dorsal striatum, a lot of important things happen there, but it's where habits seem to be formed. And he says that it responds well to repetition. In fact, he says it this way. He says, it doesn't matter if you want to do something. Every single time you do it, it gets further wired into the dorsal striatum. So it helps, I think, if you want to do it. It helps if you see value in something. But the point here is that you can furrow new ruts, as it were, into your brain by doing something. Now, it'll be your choice. Again, we're not forcing you. And I'm just telling you it's worth it. There's all sorts of research out there for years that has shown that gratitude, people who live with an overall sense of gratitude in their lives, they're healthier, they feel more connected to people, they sleep better, they have less worry. There was a study, I think, out of USC a few years ago that said you have better immunological health. Like, you can ward off disease better if you cultivate. Okay, we want all of these things. You're more likely to engage in healthy activities. You're just more likely to be generous. You're more likely to play along with things like just the rest of how society is managing this pandemic. You're just one of those people that's a little more grateful. Who doesn't want that? Now, some of you at this point are saying, you know, what's with all the research and the brain science? You're supposed to be preaching the word of the Lord. Okay, well, I think we are, and I don't think this takes away from the beauty and the power of God's word. I really don't. I think this is it. This is what we're called to do. Doesn't it make sense that if you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that the Creator who put all of you together knows how life works best? And doesn't it make sense that there will be moments when science will catch up with what the scriptures have said all along? We can learn how to be more grateful. Paul learned how to be content, he said. Job chose to praise God. So too did Jeremiah, Habakkuk, David. It's all over the scriptures, and now it's our choice. Will we choose to praise him? Will we choose to thank him? And I want to give you just here in closing as we kind of run into this moment at the end, I want to give you just a few things to think about that we can choose to be thankful for. The first one is, and you've heard me say this before, let's choose to be thankful for less than perfect gifts. Now, oftentimes when I talk about being thankful for less than perfect gifts, people, whether they have the courage to actually look to their left or right, they're thinking left and right, right? You're thinking of, oh, I've got some imperfect gifts in my life. I'm gonna be sitting around the table with them. I'm gonna be driving home with them. I work with them. They're on the team, right? Isn't it funny how the human, like our, it's a phenomenon with humans. You just get us in a room with other people and it's like, well, you know, we just think we're better than everybody else in the room. It's like, oh, I wish they were me. I wish they were as clued in and as sharp as me because I think I have this figured out. I just want you to know something. When you're sitting around the table, if you're blessed to sit around the table with people this week, and you remember this, okay, I'm choosing to be grateful for these less than perfect people, I want you to understand something. They are looking dead square at you. And they are choosing to be grateful for you less than perfect gift. Now, if you start with that sort of baseline of humility, then maybe we can begin to figure this out. You see, if you're going to wait until like your spouse or your boss or your health or your finances or your country, you fill in the blank. If you're going to wait for all of those things to be in perfect order before you give thanks, I think you're going to be waiting a while. If you're gonna wait until your kids stop fighting, until your kids get with it when it comes to this online education process, if you're gonna wait for your kids, if you're gonna wait to have kids, if you're gonna wait until your kids get out of the house, if you're gonna wait until you find someone that you can fall in love with and maybe then you can have kids, if you're gonna wait for all of that before you are thankful, you're gonna be waiting a while. You're gonna miss it. You see, I'm not even really talking about less than perfect people now. I'm talking about less than perfect moments. We are heading into a season that I think it's fair to say is like no other Thanksgiving and no other Christmas that we've ever experienced collectively. And let me just say this. I believe that when it comes to the holidays, we set the bar so high, we really want things to be just so. Like, perfect. I want to help you with something. You've never had a perfect holiday. Even the ones that you romanticize and the ones that you cling to, and I've got a few that they seemed perfect, but I promise you, if I could remember them accurately, there would be parts in there that weren't just perfect. And I'm gonna go out on a limb now and say that this Thanksgiving is gonna be less than perfect. This holiday season is going to be less than perfect. You see, it's not just that we're tired and that we're lonely. It's on top of this, there's worry and there's ache, and then there are these restrictions that are closing back in, and it's gonna be less than perfect. And we can choose to just cave into that despair, or we can choose to say, God, I will praise you. I will look for you in all of this. Let me give you just one that's way out there. Some of you, there's going to be an emptiness around the table because people will not be able to gather with you. And you're gonna feel lonely. It's gonna be like, oh my goodness. Some people, it's gonna be an empty place setting, not because people can't gather with you, but because you've lost a loved one this year. It's a friend, it's a family member, it's a coworker, a neighbor, and they're not gonna be there. I want you to know that even in that loss, even in that ache, there is a beautiful moment to thank God and say, I remember that person. I remember what they did for me. I remember who I am because of them. God, I will praise you in that moment. Do you see how that works? You will have to ruthlessly decide that. We gotta pay attention and choose to give gratitude for answered prayers. We pray all the time about constant things. I'm not sure how often we come back and go, oh yeah, you answered it. Look at what you did there. We need to start noticing answered prayers. I'm gonna give you one that is an answer to an extraordinary prayer. We got this from a couple that used to be at the Crossing. They moved to Arizona several years ago, but just a few years ago, some of us started praying for their, at that time, one-year-old son, Cole, who was diagnosed with brain cancer. Now, you try to imagine what it's like having a one-year-old with brain cancer. They write, he went through so much with many miracles along the way. God was working even when we didn't feel it or see it or understand it. We had a lot of lows and many highs on this journey. We knew his cancer was possibly controllable, but not curable. His goal of treatment was to keep it stable. He finished radiation 2 years ago, and the tumor has stayed stable since. Well, on Wednesday, we found out that he is declared cancer-free. His brain tumor is now completely gone. Yeah, God be praised. Listen to the honesty here. Knowing the science part of his diagnosis, I could never bring myself to believe he would be healed in this way, even though many people have prayed for his healing on this journey. Look at his face. I told myself in the beginning and know in my heart that God is still good no matter the outcome, but this is more than we prayed for or imagined. When was the last time you just went back and said, God, you did it. You answered my prayer. How about answering a prayer in the middle of the storm? Maybe it's not after the storm, but in the middle of the storm. Have you ever sensed that God is with you, like in the middle of the struggle? You didn't get the full answer yet, but you're like, God, I don't even know how I made it through this day, but it was you. Whitney is a young woman who last year, after a series of symptoms, was diagnosed and then went to Mayo and had it reconfirmed and was diagnosed with ALS. And if you know what ALS is, it is a progressive degenerative neuromuscular disease. Sometimes it's called Lou Gehrig's disease because he suffered from that. Now, you don't have to explain any of that to Whitney. As a doctor who was in the middle of her family medicine residency at Mercy, she knows what this diagnosis means. But what I want you to do now is to hear just a little bit of her voice. I want you to hear her try to explain how it is that she's navigating this now. I want you to listen for her courage, for her faith, but I really want you to notice her perspective. Watch this.
Kind of ironic that COVID hit when it did, because that really opened the door to virtual medicine, which was not in abundance before COVID, and allowed me to finish my residency, which I wouldn't have been able to prior to COVID. So I did the last 3 months from home of my residency doing virtual care. And I feel like God really took the bad of COVID and worked it for good for my situation. So that allowed me to finish residency, take my boards, and finish my dream of becoming a board-certified family medicine doctor. So now I can check that off my list, and God made a way for me to do that. So my son is now 4. He is an active 4-year-old boy. He is a joy and full of affection, and it's been really difficult to not be able to pick him up, hug him, really play with him. I can't get down on the floor with him. So our interactions are limited to me being seated. I don't have much use of my arms. So my husband has been very instrumental in caring for our son. Well, we serve a great and mighty God who is bigger than any problem or trial we could ever face. So I'm grateful to have my faith and to have God walking beside me through all of this. We're never meant to walk through life alone, and he has surrounded me with wonderful friends and family that support me and hold me up, but I could still do none of this without God. And the strength he gives me every day, the peace, the joy, the hope, it truly is a peace that transcends all understanding. I should not have peace with my diagnosis and current situation, and yet I do, and it's all from God.
I'm grateful to have God walking beside me. Did you hear her speak of hope and joy and peace in the middle of the storm? Listen, I've told you all before, we're a community, so we support each other, and we champion each other, and we come alongside each other, but we learn from each other too. And there are giants that are walking among us, and we can learn from them how to express gratitude in the middle of the storm. So I say right now, here we are, we're ending fast, keep up, but we should boldly express gratitude to each other, to God. We should be just open about all of this. When Paul in Philippians says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you, and I make my requests with a heart full of joy. Paul is saying to a group of people that he has gone through thick and thin with, every time your name comes up, I just thank God for you. I am for you. I am your champion. Do you have any idea what that must have felt like for them? For Paul to say that about them. Do you have any idea how powerful your words are? Listen, some days, some weeks, I live off of the email or the text or the phone call or just someone saying to me, man, I'm with you. I'm thankful for you. I love you. Let's do this together. You're not crazy. And I know you're the same way. Do you have any idea how powerful your words are? So I don't know who it is that you need to express it to this week. It might be your parents or your kids or a sibling or a coach or a teacher or a mentor. It might be friends that you've just gone through a lot with. It might be your sponsor. It could be any number of people. I would just say, would you express this to them? You remember last week when I said, construct your own Romans 16? You guys remember that? You remember when you didn't do it? Yeah, okay. Welcome to my world. But you get one more chance. Here's what I want you to do this week. You don't have to write a novel. You don't have to write a letter. But the people in your life that you are doing life with, what if you'd reached out to them this week and it was a text, it was a phone call, it was a note, it was just something spontaneous where you said, I am different because of you and I am thanking God today because I am thinking of you. I can't tell you how important this will be to our spiritual, our emotional, our physical health. I know this Thanksgiving is going to be different. It's gonna be strange and awkward and in some ways sad, and I am familiar with those kinds of thanksgivings. It is the grace of God that sees us through. And oftentimes that grace shows up in the form of his people who say, well, let's do this together. So how about we just become bold expressors of gratitude and thanks this week? What if we reach out to each other like never before? I think at the beginning of this pandemic, maybe we did that better than we're doing now. And I understand why, because we're all tired. But what if right now we just said together, we're going to do this? What if we said right now, I'm not going to forget people that have been so important to my life? What if we expressed our gratitude to the God who will never fail, the God who is like no other? He's better than anything else we can imagine. When you think about all that you've been given, friendships that go deep, a support group that's getting you through, a job, you still have a job. When you think of a spouse that loves you, when you think of kids that you still enjoy being around, when you think of a roof over your head, when you think of your health, when you think of any number, when you think of life itself, when you think of a God who loves you so much that he sends his son to make things right, when you think of a Savior who loves you so much he goes to the cross to pay the debt for your sins, when you think of all of these things, when you notice what God has done in your life, these blessings, what do you say? You say thank you. So let me be the first. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for still dreaming big dreams. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for teaching me about God's courage and God's love and what he is still doing and how he is not finished with us. Listen, I know this is gonna be different, and I know some of our houses are not gonna be as full as we want this year. Seems like this thing's gonna take one more big swing at us before it hopefully gets better next year, but God is seeing us through. God will see us through. So we thought we'd end this way with something that in the past has been important to us, and we thought probably like never before we needed this. Just to share some things with you, just to maybe get some things started so that you get a chance to see stories, testimonies, if you will. They don't fit on the cardboard that you're now about to look at, but they tell a story, and I want you to pay attention to them. In fact, I'm just gonna ask you, if you would, do your best to pay attention to a lot of things going on, where these stories are coming from, who these people are, the ones that feel comfortable enough to take their mask, and I want you to just see the look on their faces. I want you to see the before and after. I want you to see in some of the videos people where they're doing this from, or maybe in one case the fact that she had to have her mom flip the cardboard because she can't hold it. I just want you to see all of this, and then my prayer is this: may God now ignite in us a holy, sweet, raucous, contagious outbreak of gratitude that takes over our community, our families, and gets us through this season. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Happy Thanksgiving.